Hello, everyone, and welcome to Connectivity episode 266. I am your host, John Reardon, and I am joined today by Neil Ronahan.
Hey, we took a week off, but we're back. I told you we wouldn't leave.
Just for your birthday. It's an NWR holiday. No one's allowed to work. And joining us for this return episode, or no, not return episode. Dang it, I already gave away that we're recording these out of order by saying that. Pretend that I didn't and that there wasn't an episode between this and the week that we took off. Anyway, Justin Berube is here joining us on this episode after our return episode. Hi,
yeah,
Justin.
So, yeah, we're recording things out of order. I guess hopefully on March 31st you celebrated or mourned the death of Mario.
It's a celebration of life.
We peek behind the curtain. We record these typically on Wednesday nights. And Wednesday night, March 31st, we are doing a live stream for charity for the Video Game History Foundation, where we're going to play some of the games that Nintendo decided we shouldn't play anymore after March 31st. So join us for that. And we're getting ahead of the race before you hear this.
Retroactively,
we don't know how it
went.
Hopefully, we raised a lot of money.
Were you there? I'm disappointed if you weren't. Anyway, Justin Berube is here.
Yes, I am here. Well, yeah, I mean, you guys just kept going and going.
I tried to introduce you, and then it just didn't. It didn't work.
But I'm here. I'm back. I don't know how long it's been since I've been on Connectivity. Probably an extremely long time.
Yeah. Years.
So, yeah, definitely years. So it's exciting to be back. I don't even remember the last thing I did on this show. It may have been some sort of collecting thing we were trying out. I don't remember.
I think so. I don't know. Who knows if that actually went up? I know that happened.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Was it perhaps collecting all the Pokemon?
No, I think I forget who I was on.
The Pokemon Amiibo.
I'm trying to segue here, guys. Oh. I'm trying to segue into Pokemon Snap.
Oh.
Yeah, so I guess
let's catch them all. A little different.
Right now, we are less than a month away from when you'll listen to this. Technically, we're more than a month away, but by the time you hear this, it'll be less than a month away.
We're gonna keep pointing this out at every. Initially, when we started recording, we were like, "Oh, we won't even give away that this is out of order." But yeah. Now, every possible moment will be us pointing out that we're recording this a week early.
So, new Pokemon Snap is coming out on April 30th. It's basically the next big Nintendo release after they shut everything down. And we got some new information about
they're
it.
They're rebooting the extended universe of Nintendo by killing off
Phase 4.
Yep.
But new Pokemon Snap got some new information. It's weird in that, like, seeing some of the preview stuff that has come out with new Pokemon Snap and just what they've said about the game, like, it just seems like it's more Pokemon Snap, like, almost the bare minimum of what you could have done 20 years later to make a new Pokemon Snap game. That's what they're doing. But I'm also extremely excited.
Well, this is something about Pokemon Snap that I'm really confused about, because I remember when the game came out. I mean, I remember I was old enough to be working. I bought it myself, and I remember everybody online being quite disappointed at how short the game was, and everything around that, and it just wasn't much of a game. And I remember it just kind of being like a meh game, and that was kind of the general consensus. But then all these years later, I've noticed this like huge cult status, like everybody wanted another one, and I'm thinking nobody wanted another one when it came out. What's going on?
I think that's actually like an interesting like analysis on like how fandom evolves over time. Because you think about Pokemon Snap, because when the first one came out in 99, so it was still pretty early on in just Pokemon period. It was a, you know, Pokemon spinoff, very early Pokemon spinoff. I think what there might have been a stadium game before this, and that was it.
I think this may have been the first console game.
Yeah, this might have been the first spinoff. So you look at it from that angle, is that like Pokemon is this brand new thing, and one of the early, if not the earliest spinoff, is this like 45-minute long camera game? It only has like a third of the Pokemon. Like, you know, it's cute, I guess, but it's really short. And I don't have a Blockbuster close enough to me, so I can't print out my photos.
Oh, like, I did, but I'm like, I never printed any out because I kept thinking, like, are these the photos I want to waste my, like, card on that I got? Because I think I got cards for free for doing something. I don't remember what the promotion
was. I didn't actually. I had a friend who had the game, and that was kind of enough for me because, like we said, it's not that long of a game. I don't know if I own a cartridge of it. I know I played it back in the day, and then I played it a lot. I probably played through it like 3 or 4 times over the course of the Wii's lifespan on Virtual Console. And that actually had some stuff with like Wii Connect 24 where you could share your photos that I had a lot of fun with.
Yeah, didn't it save them to like the message board, whatever they had?
Yeah. Remember with the Wii had a message board at launch. It was weird days,
the
man.
The system of the future. You could check your message board, your weather, and your local news all from the comfort of your Wii.
Yeah, and you could also vote. Imagine how much that would have helped out in the 2020 election.
Oh, God, if it had all been on the Wii Vote channel.
It's time for Wii nostalgia, right? Like, I know there was a period of time where, like, a lot of people thought they were better than the Wii. But can't we just unabashedly love that damn thing now?
Oh, yeah, the Wii's great.
I love that system.
I wonder what the breakdown is between people who have a Wii in their household versus voted in the most recent election. And would the Wii Vote channel actually have been like better coverage than our traditional electoral system?
I don't know how many people who had the Wii up until Netflix came out were actually connecting it to the internet.
That's
true. I
feel
like there's a lot of people who probably just had it sitting there.
All right, so this isn't going to be 100% accurate. I'm just looking for a rough estimate because we're not going to be able to get United States only sales. We're only going to get North America. So, like, we got how many Canadians actually bought video games? Did they even know about them? But whatever random, it looks like it's around 45 million Wiis were sold in North America. So, I never actually thought about like what the breakdown of Canadian sales are, but let's just say 35 to 40 million Wiis in America that were sold. That seems wrong. I don't know. Like, how many people are in Canada? How many people buy video games? I have no idea.
They had the Wii Mini up there, so none of them bought regular Wiis.
Now that was at the end, and they actually brought the Wii Mini here also, but it was bundled with Mario Kart.
How many people listen here in 2020?
That I imported from Canada. As crazy as that sounds.
Okay, no, way more people voted in 2020.
Well, I mean, you have to assume that each of those Wiis is in a household of what?
Yeah,
between,
that is true.
Like, 3 to 5 people.
Yeah.
So
what's the average household with a Wii? Although some of them aren't going to be 18, but let's say for the sake of argument, out of those, you know, potentially 40 million, 3 per household can vote.
I think that's
maybe on
fair.
Average.
That
would be 120 million. Still more people voted in the 2020 election. It looks like more than about 160 million Americans voted.
I hate that I'm surprised by that. like I hate that I expected the Wii number to be bigger.
Yeah. But, however, if we do think, we could probably look at the cross-section of people who didn't vote still in the 2020 election. There's probably, like, at least half of that amount of Wii owners probably didn't vote.
There you go.
So, yeah, we'll just dunk on people for they would have voted if we had the Everybody Votes channel. Imagine, like, just the Senate floor where it's like you have like you know how like there's like the fake gamer guy who is running for president.
Yeah.
This is like the Twitter handle. Imagine like him like going on the Senate floor and being like, this is how we're gonna solve voter fraud. We're gonna do it from the Nintendo Wii.
Nobody would buy that. Especially us, because we know how bad Nintendo's online infrastructure has been. Like, you kidding me?
Would have been like somebody making that case, and you're like, you do realize like someone just hacked and leaked everything from the 90s that they did it, right?
It's like, you realize in order to vote, you're going to need like a cell phone, a Wii, like cables, a special thing you can only get on Nintendo's website at like 2 in the morning.
And when you vote, you get a stand that you can put your voter registration card on.
They're like projecting the results up onto the screen at horrible 480i resolution. The guy's trying to like click on stuff, but all the reflections are making the Wii remote jiggle all over the place.
Or it's like how they combat like people being like have, instead of having dividers up or different areas where you can go and vote privately, they just use 3DS screens.
Yeah.
So in theory, it should work so only you can see it, but yeah, everybody else could totally see it.
Well, the image is like hidden in the 3D.
Yeah. Image. It's like the diorama one.
Yeah, well, it's like those Mario's in the levels in 3D Land where you can only really see them if you're playing in 3D. Sorry, 2DS players, you're screwed.
So no, new Pokemon Snap looks pretty good. I'm really excited for the game. I think I forget. Did that? It's totally $60, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's probably going to be like sub 5 hours of gameplay, but I'm still in. Over 200 Pokemon, which the original had like I think 50 to 60. So that's cool. Different locations. It's all still on rails. There's apparently like full voice acting for the cutscenes, which is just weird.
Unsettling.
I guess. And like it looks fun. You can share your images. You can like edit them and stuff.
I think there's going to be DLC or something for this. Like look, there's going to be a special Pokemon thrown on this track this time.
That would be really cool. Like honestly, I would like that. But it is like I mean, it feels like sometimes Pokemon, like the Pokemon company, just makes games that are like closed boxes. And some of that, I mean, like you do look at like Sword and Shield, for example, the mainline game. Like it's an open box. It speaks to a lot of different games, and then sometimes they put out something like, you know, Pokemon Ranger that feels like it's only communicating within itself and not to the greater, wider, you know, Pokemon world. Although there's probably a Pokemon Ranger game where you can like, I don't know, if you have a save file in your system, you like get like an item in like,
I think Pokemon there are some Sunday. That you get if you finish the game, you get like a special event type Pokemon you can transfer over somehow.
But it is like I wonder, like, is new Pokemon Snap just going to be a one and done kind of thing? Are we going to see that game come out? Probably, you know, do all right, like get decent review scores. Like, I don't think I feel like just by the nature of the game's scope, it's not going to be like 10 out of 10, this is a masterpiece, game of the year. But, you know, if it gets good reception, like, are they going to make more? Are they going to add to this game? I really don't know.
Seems like an easy, like, DLC target.
Yeah. You could just add more Pokemon.
Add more Pokemon to the existing tracks, or even, like, you can put out a new on-rails thing if you want to for, like, $5 or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll say that most of the content that I got, I watched the Nintendo Life preview. So, you know, watch the enemy, but we didn't get invited to a preview session. So we had to resort to other means.
What did you say about Pokemon to Nintendo to make them so upset?
Looking at other content on the internet. But yeah, Nintendo Life's video by John Cartwright, I guess a friend of the site, maybe. I don't know. Hey, John.
but we know you're listening.
He did point out that like it seems like there's like an experience meter of sorts where as you kind of complete levels, then like your level will go up. And then when you go back to other levels, more Pokemon will have shown up. I think that's cool.
Okay. It's cool, but like also like how come Pokemon aren't showing up in these natural places until I'm stronger?
Because they appreciate you.
Okay. It's kind of weird, but okay, whatever. It's a gameplay.
even if I could really make a good case for why this game is just a very safe and disappointing new entry in a series. Is it a series? It is a sequel to a video game that came out 20 years ago. I'm still really excited for this because at the end of the day, all I want is just a game where like I like interact with Pokemon and take pictures of them, and that's going to be fine for me. Are you guys in my camp, or are you? I know Justin, you said like back in the day, no one cared about Pokemon Snap. Are you going to care about it now?
I wouldn't say nobody cared about it. Like it was important because it was a Pokemon console game, but I think most people didn't play it very long, and it didn't really keep the mind share that long. It was kind of like, yeah, this is kind of cool, but maybe you should just rent this. It's not really as easy to rent things these days. You know, Blockbuster isn't around the corner anymore. But I think a lot of people are going to buy it just because what I'm guessing happened is a lot of younger players grew up and they have a lot of nostalgia for the game. And maybe that was just enough, like playing Pokemon and taking pictures. And when you're younger, maybe you have a different idea of what made the game great. And maybe the short length didn't bother people as much because I don't mind shorter games. But for a game like this, it just seemed like it was lacking overall.
I think it's also like almost like how people got games as well. Because if you think about it, like, I mean, even from my perspective, like, I did not buy this game on launch back when it came out on Nintendo 64. My first time buying it was like the $10 it cost on the Wii Virtual Console, which $10 for that game on Wii, like, that feels like that's a steal. But paying $50+ for this on the N64, like that definitely is a harder pill to swallow. I mean, it's kind of like Luigi's Mansion is another game like that I feel like also
got
a really rough reception at launch, and then years later people are like, I love that gem. Like, I remember playing Luigi's Mansion and kind of just forgetting about it because that was like a good 4 hours, I guess. And then like years later replaying it on GameCube and being like, oh no, like this game's like really fun and imaginative and like it looks nice.
Well, it was like a tech demo. It was it was like teased at Space World 2000, I think. It's one of the first.
Yeah. Like, I feel like Luigi's Mansion's problem is always that, like, it was a launch game that would have done way better being, I don't know, like new Pokemon Snap, a game coming out in April in the middle of a console's life cycle. Like, as opposed to, like, here's the Mario game at launch. It's 3.5 hours long.
I think they should really want to check that Mario type game is at launch. So, yes, it's here. Look, everybody, even though Mario is who you're saving in that one. But I just hope this new Pokemon Snap really meets the fans' expectations. I'm kind of like in the middle of the road. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm probably going to think it's all right, but I mean, maybe the game isn't completely for me. Once I beat the game, I don't know. Like, once you beat the game, I don't really know what's compelling me to go back and get better pictures, especially if I can't print them out. Blockbuster. So I mean
you can take a screenshot and then send them to your phone using the app, and then email that to yourself, and then download that on your desktop, and then print that off from your printer.
Since we need to be pro Xbox on the show, as is the new tradition, I'll point out about how I can just press a button on my Xbox controller and then like a screenshot is sent to my phone.
Yep. Yeah, it's really just like one step more convenient. Like they got to push the button, take a screenshot. Cool, got it. You can get to that screenshot on your phone. Oh yeah, great. There's nothing in between. Oh, like it's just that one little disconnect makes such a huge difference.
Yeah.
If I could just get to my screenshot folder from my phone, that'd do it.
Yeah.
But
that's the kind of thing like I guess there is that kind of like the faux social network that they have in the game where people can like give plaudits to photos that are up there. And Nintendo always seems to do that. I mean, we were talking about the message board on the Wii and, you know, that kind of bored Miiverse, where it's this thing of like, there's already social networks that people share things on. And I feel like it's always kind of this losing battle of like, no, we're going to make it so there's a social network in the video game. It's like, no, just like have it so people can put their pictures up on Twitter real easy.
Well, you can do that on Switch.
And that is, to be fair, you can, you know, put up your pictures on Twitter real easy from Switch. But I mean, almost as opposed to it being a system level, like maybe make that, like, could you do that integration more into the game? Mm-hmm.
And maybe I will say
it's not worth working with Twitter API on that, but.
They did it with Mario Kart 8 on Wii U.
Yeah, with YouTube. And then they turned that off.
Listen, I do think Miiverse was kind of fun for certain things. I like seeing player comments when I got to like levels and stuff like that. And
for Mario Maker, excellent.
Yeah, and I don't think it was a completely bad idea. Like, it'd be great if this if they have all these social things built into the new Pokemon Snap, if I didn't have to put the cartridge in to see certain comments on my pictures and things like that. But instead it's like, oh, I got to go fish out my cartridge and see if anybody commented on my Pokemon
you
pictures.
You could just get it digitally. Justin.
Yeah, but then it takes up space on the SD card, and then I can't play it on different systems. Like, mm-hmm. I want somebody to borrow the game. Like, listen, digital is fine for some people, but it's not for me unless it's absolutely necessary. And just to like move away from that this topic slightly and talk about digital games, I just feel like there's a lot of issues with them as far as, like I said, being able to play them on different systems. Like, I like loaning my games out to people sometimes. You just can't do that. And,
mm-hmm.
and I'm actually staying away from a lot of the digital games now with all these like limited run type companies popping up, because when a new digital game comes out, I'm like, I don't want to touch this. I'm going to wait a year to see if somebody releases a physical version of this because I don't want to buy it twice. So I think in some ways it's hurting sales.
Did you get Hades yet?
I just got it. I haven't played it.
Okay. I haven't played it either. Maybe we should both play it and we can join the world from 6 months ago where everybody's like, this game's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I have many, many unopened Switch games. And I'm like, yeah, I got this, but I'm busy. I got like so much stuff to do. And, you know.
Did you pre-order Carto?
I don't think I did.
It's on IM8Bit. You can, like, I put up an interview that we did with the developer today. Go check it out.
I'll have to check that one out.
It's a real cool game.
I don't buy all the physicals, just to be clear. I pick and choose a lot.
Yeah, there are people that do that, and it's more like, what's your job? Can I have it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I buy the ones that seem to, I hear people, like my friends, like you guys, or anybody else here, like, really talking about them. Sometimes I'll be like, yeah, I'll just get that and see what I think of it if I ever get to it. But it's nice to have.
I will say that, like, I'm usually the person that's kind of, like, anti-digital stuff, or I guess anti-physical stuff, being like, oh, who cares? Games are ephemeral. Just live by the seat of your pants. I am definitely more cognizant of, for example, buying Mario games physically, because I have a son, and I'm going to soon have two. And there's going to come a point where there will be multiple Switches in my household.
Yep.
And, like, it's going to be like, well, this is way easier than dealing with whatever sharing network crap that Nintendo has that doesn't make that much sense, but is kind of neat, but I don't know. For example, like Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury, going to own that. Super Mario 3D All-Stars, even though it's gone now forever, I have a physical copy of that. And that's not because it might skyrocket value. That's because that's a game that is going to need to be probably shared in my household in a couple years.
Yeah, I have enjoyed it. For me, it's an excuse if I review some indie game that I really like Everspace on Switch. Then when they put out a physical edition, it gives me an excuse to give them money, even though I already have the digital copy on my Switch.
Yeah, that's when you talk me into buying, John.
Yeah, I have Poi.
Physically?
Yeah.
That's a weird game that we both have physically.
Yeah, no, for me it was...
You want to hang out?
We are. I know, I got it. I think it was like, it was at Best Buy for some reason. Yeah. And that was, I had a Best Buy near my old job that I would just, like, it was bad because I'd just be like, oh, I could just get that in-store pickup and go grab it during lunch. And that was during that era where I just had all these physical games and I'm like, I'm not even really playing any of them. It's just very easy to just be like, I'm gonna go get Civ 6 during lunch today.
Yeah.
No, Everspace, like I said, was one John convinced me to get. I think it was like $15 on Amazon or something.
Yeah, it wasn't even. That is the nice thing is, as more of those physical indie print companies come up, they're gonna have to get their prices down. Like a little competition is good for that stuff, and so you'll see less of those limited run, crazy expensive games.
And also, I feel like $15 is like such a sweet spot for like a physical game on Switch.
Oh, yeah. I'll buy most physical games for $15. Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. $15. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I've been putting it off, but I'm literally buying Carto, the physical version, because you raised a good point that I reviewed it, so I didn't actually buy it. And I really, really like that game.
That is a thing that I have a problem with. I have bought too many games physically. I bought Xenoblade so many times. But Xenoblade 2, I bought Torna, like, I don't know how many ways I own Torna.
So I bought the digital deluxe for Xenoblade 2 because I thought I was going to love that game. But I want to play Torna, but I hate that I have to install the entire Xenoblade 2 to get it.
Just go pick up a physical copy.
There's been that part of me that just like maybe I should actually. Physical copies for Xenoblade 2 are like crazy expensive right now.
Oh, I meant get a physical copy at Torna.
No, somebody on the site said Torna is going for a lot. It may have been.
Yeah.
Ooh, I should sell one of mine.
you want to sell to me?
I'll just send you one. Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. So in back in November, it was $35. It's currently in March going $75.
Holy crap. Please. I'm not sending it to you. I'm selling it. I have the case. That's mine's minty. I don't think I've ever opened it.
Holy crap. I think mine is brand sealed. Brand new, $170.
Holy crap. Yeah, I should sell mine.
That's insane. Yeah. I mean, or I could just buy it digitally for $20. Like,
right.
But it's also like I have Torna. It's just that I don't like Xenoblade 2, so the idea of having Xenoblade 2 installed, which is, I mean, I think it's like 16 gigs. It's one of
it's
the bigger.
It's not huge.
No, I mean, it's for Switch games.
Well, okay, for like Nintendo, for first party Switch games.
Yeah.
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 No, I mean, third party stuff is very regularly over 32 gigs.
But. Yeah. But that's why, like, those third party games, I basically play them and then they are off my system.
But in this case, John and I will team up against you, Neil, because I think we both really enjoy Xenoblade 2.
That is true.
I mean, that's fair. That's good for you guys. I wish I liked
Neil,
it.
Neil, we need you to be wrong.
This is one of the few times when I'm not the odd man out. So
yeah,
so I'm gonna enjoy
me and
it.
Justin agree on something that it must be
like,
true.
I mean, I feel like it's gonna come up once a month on this show. Like, I don't like Xenoblade 2, but I will once again reiterate, I'm happy that you guys like it.
You don't like Xenoblade, Neil, and you need to accept that you don't like any of them.
I'm terrified. It's like maybe what I need to do is I need to play Xenoblade X and Skyward Sword back to back, because those are two games that I'm both like. Well, Xenoblade X is more recent because I didn't like Xenoblade 1 when I replayed it as much on Switch last year. So now I'm terrified that like maybe I just don't like those games.
I think you do.
Skyward Sword's been gestating for a lot longer. It's been almost a decade of me being like intimidated of replaying that game because I'm like, I gave it a 10 out of 10. What if I don't like it now?
Yeah, I also gave it a 10 out of 10 with the set I was with back then. But Xenoblade X, I don't know if I like it or not. I mean, I didn't finish it.
It's a 9.5 out of 10. It was a 10 out of 10, and then I got to the final boss, and it's bullshit. And that I remember sitting there being like, if I were reviewing this, this would have dropped it down to a 9.5, because this is garbage.
For Xenoblade X?
Yeah. Yeah, the final boss.
I hear the end is terrible. And I don't. Don't spoil it, because I'm sure it'll come
out
on Switch. And
I won't.
I'll get to enjoy.
It's just, yeah.
The actual, I'm sure they'll add like another Xenoblade X 2, like.
Oh, some epilogue written by not the Xenoblade team that's terrible? Yeah.
Oh my god. I was like, that came up in the NWR Discord about a week ago from when you're hearing this. It came up in the NWR Discord recently, and I just had to remember how bad Future Connected was.
Yeah, I played through it. I mean, there's certain things I liked about it, but like overall, it's like this wasn't really necessary. And like, they built up the whole thing. If like you read if you got the special edition with the art book for a definitive edition, it has like this whole letter written by one of the guys working on it, and it says, "Yeah, Future Connected gives you a teaser for the future of the Xenoblade franchise."
Yeah,
and all this stuff.
Takahashi.
Yeah, and then I'm like, okay, great. And I'm playing through Future Connect. I'm like, man, I can't wait to figure out what this all means. And you get to the end of the game, and it's like, wow, this didn't explain anything at all. What am I supposed to think about this?
Well, and if that's the future of the Xenoblade franchise, like, I think I'm good. I think we peaked, fellas. Yeah.
No, it's so weird.
Maybe it will make more sense, because it, I mean, as far as like the storytelling density of those games, like I wouldn't be surprised if they like come out with Xenoblade 3 and it's just like, oh, it makes perfect sense what they were trying to say in Future Connected now.
No, it could, but like I was just disappointed when you get, because you think like they're gonna give you something a little more than like nothing, and it's just like, wow,
yeah, like
I just
really
played through this like 20 hour game for what?
Yeah, like there's not really any kind of reveal, and like half of the characters that you play as are no pawns because they hate you. Like, I don't, and the only thing that's redeeming about that is that, like, it does give you an excuse to play as Melia.
And it gives you a better outfit. If you play that and then go to DE, then you have Shulk's outfit from Future Connected, which is, like, a version of his outfit from the first Xenoblade, but, like, designed by an artist.
Yeah.
And it's, so I was like, this is great. And I play through DE with the outfit from Future Connected, and that really helps. No weird Final Fantasy pants.
I just think, I'll say, stating for the record, I don't hate the first Xenoblade Chronicles. I just think it's aged worse than I thought it would. That's all.
Sure. It was
I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think as a Wii game in 2010 or 11 or 12 or wherever it came out in your region, I think it's one of the best Wii games of its time. I just think playing it on Switch in the weird sort of remastered, sort of remade form in 2020, it was just kind of like, okay, like, this is this is all right. Whereas on Wii, that was like a generational game.
Yeah.
And the story is still beautifully insane.
Oh, yeah.
In the best way. Like, oh, man.
Well, let's see. We're already at 30 minutes into this episode on what we were just talking about Pokemon Snap, as you could clearly tell.
Yeah, we still have three other things on the list, and we were trying to keep this to about 45 minutes.
I think I'm going to go ahead and skip ahead here, because the reason that we have Justin here is because we wanted to talk about Mario Kart Tour.
Oh, yeah.
So let's chat about Mario Kart Tour, because Justin, I think that you and Neil, of everyone that I've ever known and probably ever will know, have put more time into Mario Kart Tour. So tell me about what's up in that world.
All right, before I get started on that, I just want to say we've also recruited Xander to the Mario Kart Tour.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
I think he started playing Mario Kart Tour just to record footage, and then he realized, wow, this game, like, he kept asking me questions about it, and then kept getting deeper and deeper, and I was private messaging Xander, telling him, like, tips and tricks, and then he got into it and realized, like, wow, this is, like, really good, and some of these things aren't in the next Mario Kart game, I'm going to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
So
I will, like just the scoring aspect is, like, really fun, and it just gives you this other way to play. Like, it's the dumb thing about Mario Kart Tour is that, well, like, I, you know, infamously gave Mario Kart 8 a 7.5 out of 10 on Wii U. My complaints about their, like there's nothing to do in single player, like, Mario Kart Tour just addresses all of that. And I understand, like, as a multiplayer game, it is hot fire. Hot fire is probably positive. But, like, as a multiplayer game, like, it's non-existent in Tour. That's the one part of the game I think is just really bad, and I understand why they didn't have
it's
it
existent,
at launch.
It's just bad.
Yeah, yeah, like, on the online multiplayer exists in that game because people complained about it. Like, that's my belief, because they, like, it seems like the developers clearly don't really care about it, because there's just not a lot there. But the single player part of it, like, playing through the tours, you know, unlocking different, I mean, yes, there is the gacha component, but you also, like, I can't totally judge, because I've just been doing the Gold Pass since the game came out, the $5 a month subscription, which just gives you, you know, it gives you more unlocks, it gives you other benefits too. There's, like, more challenge boards to go after. For me, it's worth it. I'm not putting any other money into the game, but for as much time as I play it, $5 a month is totally fine.
Yeah, I think we do need to back up a little bit and explain how the game works to people
sure, who
are unfamiliar with it. So Mario Kart Tour has a new tour every 2 weeks, which gives a set of cups with specific tracks on it. And what makes the tracks special, in my opinion, over other Mario Kart games is these are the same tracks, you know, and there are new tracks as well. Some are themed after the tour. It could be based on a real-life city, or it could just be one taken from a game, and there are tracks that keep coming back, so it's not like one and done most of the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm actually looking at a list of them. So you have, like, yeah, pretty much everything is based off of cities. There's New York, Tokyo, Paris, London. Vancouver, for some reason, LA had one, and then there was a Christmas themed level.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes the tours are just kind of themed after, like, snow, and they'll have a bunch of ice levels,
yeah,
you know, from Mario Kart games. But the thing that makes them special, in my opinion, is there's could be up to four versions of these tracks, so they don't do mirror mode, because, let me be honest, I hate mirror mode in Mario Kart. It really ticks me off. They're just trying to mess with your head, and it's like a cheap, somewhat easy thing for them to do is be like, haha, we mirrored the course, have fun. But now they've made it so that's not there. You have the standard course. You can race the course in reverse, not mirror mode. Like, you're just going backwards through the course. The third type is the trick course, where they add kind of like more speed boosts and ramps and all sorts of crazy things like that. And then there's the reverse trick course, where it's the reverse course, but they remix it with that. And then sometimes they actually redo the whole track, and it's called the RMX remix version of the track, and they do even more crazy stuff.
Yeah. Like, they do that. There's Rainbow Roads that they did that for. Island got a lot of remixes for some reason.
Yeah. So, as you're playing these tracks in the single player component, you try to earn points, and you do that by keeping a combo. Like, you have a certain amount of time between each boost that would hold your combo, and hitting enemies
with items. Collecting coins.
Collecting coins, yeah.
Even running into Goombas.
Yeah, if you hit the Goomba on top, like squashing them, it helps. There's a lot of things that'll help you keep your combo. And it's kind of like an Excite Truck or Excite Bots meets Mario Kart in that sense. And every week, there's one cup that you like really want to try and push your score into against 19 other players. So it's 20 total, including yourself. And try to earn more rewards for yourself by ranking highly in that. It's called the Ranked Cup. And all of this gives you resources you can use to try and collect more characters that would give you more benefits to your roster. So if every character that you have, if they're selected for the track, like they have a list of tracks they're good at, if they're good at it, you can get 3 items per item box you run into and actually unlock a Frenzy, which lets you use one of the whatever item you get unlimited time for a set amount of time.
So you just tap the screen a lot.
Yeah, you tap the screen a lot, just spamming your weapon. It helps you keep the combo. And if you don't, you only have a good character for the track. You only have 2 or 1 item per box. So, I mean, I think that's where a lot of the complaint comes in with the gacha element, because that's how you get some of these characters. But, like, it's really not so bad if, like, you play smart, save up the resource to get them. And because they're guaranteed to be in the pipe, which either has 50 to 100 things in it. And if you just save up your resources for a little bit, you can be guaranteed to get the character you want out of it. It's not like a thing we're going to have to keep pouring thousands and thousands of dollars to get the character you want if it's in the pipe that week or whatever. But, I mean, a lot of people are turned off by that, but it's really not so bad, because I think the thing with Mario Kart Tour is persistence is key, and if you keep playing the game, you actually build up your roster fairly nicely. And there's other ways to get characters, too, other than the gacha elements. There's like a shop. There's a shop that you can get in-game coins that you don't pay money for. You can if you want to, sort of.
Yeah, like they've added a lot in the past year and a half. They actually, like, it's their 1.5 year anniversary was recently.
It's right now. It's
there's basically at this point there's 3 different shops. Because you have when the game first came out, you just had like a store that you could go to and it would update daily. And then there's the tier shop that, depending on like what your race tier is, which we haven't even gotten to yet, you'll unlock different things that you can also buy. And I think that's consistent for a week, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. And then there's also, they introduced this element of getting like green coins that the token shop, where every tour, there's some different way of kind of accruing these tours in game or these coins in game. Sometimes it'll be like, oh, if you hit an enemy with a shell, you'll get some coins, or they'll just be littered throughout the track. And it just, once again, there's just so many more different things to do. And yeah, you can kind of say that's the mobile design to try to get you to play more and everything, but I kind of don't care. It's really stinking fun.
Yeah, it's a lot more exciting to me than just Mario Kart. Play like the
just cups running races
and get gold, and there's nothing to do. And I think in the Mario Kart 8, it's like just collect a bunch of coins on the track and you'll randomly unlock things. It's like, I'd rather you have had like a shop where I can collect the coins and spend it on the things I want instead of have to just do this whole grind getting coins, and it's kind of boring. But Mario Kart Tour, like I said, the new elements make it really exciting, the remixing the tracks. There's more tracks in this game than any other Mario Kart. There's more characters, there's more carts and gliders and everything. It's like the ultimate Mario Kart game, but the only thing that really will turn people off, I think, is the mobile paywall design, where there's a little bit of that involved, which, honestly, $5 a month isn't that bad if you keep playing the game. And
yeah, and you get like there's benefits to that, and that you kind of get like double the bonuses, that, like, because you as you play through the cups in the tour, as you score more points, there are different unlocks associated with that. You essentially double the amount of unlocks that you have access to if you pay the $5 a month.
Yeah, like I said, it's kind of it's not something you can sit down and get the game and like, you can just be great at it. I mean, you can do fine, because I'll explain that in a second. But like it's more of a slow burn, this game.
Yeah.
And then you just got to keep at it, and it just keeps getting better and better, in my opinion. But the reason why it's not so bad that you don't have too many things to start with is, like I was talking about, the ranked cups that you do every week to try and earn points and rank better than 19 other people to get better rewards. It places you in tiers. So when you start out, you're against easier opponents. So you kind of build up to the harder levels as you go on and as your skill improves. So
What tier are you at, Justin?
Right now I'm at 59.
Okay, damn. I've been hovering in the 30s for a while, but I will be honest that a lot of my time has been playing it with my kid. Mm-hmm. So I've not necessarily been going hard into ranking high. I basically, like, I'll kind of like get to like 38, 39, and then just have a couple weeks where I'm just not as driven to get a high score and do my runs to make sure I get a high score. Mm-hmm. I think right now I'm at like 35 or 36, but I want to crack 40 at some point because that's one of my challenge cards has that.
Yeah. I mean, I think the max right now is tier 70. They just increased it, but I think like the highest you can be at is in the low 60s right now. Because they just did that a couple weeks ago and you can only go up one tier a week at best. Yep. So I'm pretty high up there. Sometimes it is frustrating when you get thrown in a group with one of the whales who has definitely dumped way too much money into this game. I mean, I usually just do Gold Pass. I bought like a couple of separate things on the side, and I have been buying the new thing they added, the challenge cards.
How is that? Because I've been tempted by that, but I just in the last tour, I actually didn't finish every race. Feel a little bit pangs of regret. It's just the week got away from me.
Yeah, I feel like the premium challenge thing is kind of like platinum pass in a way. Like, if you want to do it, go ahead. It gives you like more rewards for things you, if you're playing the game, it's really easy to clear those out, let me be honest. So, like, you can save up to 15 of them at a time if you haven't completed them. I'm just thinking, if someone's paying $5 for this, they're going to clear this out real fast because the challenges really aren't that hard. But it gives you a nice set of rewards. So, I kind of think it's like Gold Pass 2 in a way if you want to do it. But that's like a bi-weekly thing. And hey, you don't have to do it. Gold Pass is actually, still, in my opinion, the best bang for your buck if you're going to play this game and ease yourself into it.
I'll also say that as someone who plays this very, very, very casually, I have never spent any money on this, and I've also never come up against a point where I couldn't keep going. So it's not particularly aggressive with its like gacha elements. Like, they never really get in your way from progressing. You just might not progress as fast.
When they had the beta that, like,
because
it was a couple months before, they actually did have a stamina. So, like,
yep.
You could only play, like, which I think was really smart that they took it out, because I think it makes the game better.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't imagine trying to go for high scores and then have the stamina, because, like, a lot of it is you pushing it's yourself. Persistence. It's kind of like an arcade game in a way, where it's skill times the things you've unlocked through the gacha and just playing the game normally. And luck. Like, there's a luck element when it comes to certain things happening, getting a frenzy, or just having other characters on the track that have, maybe your opponent has a coin box and just spraying coins in front of you, and that's going to help you too. So
yeah,
it has like a real arcadey feel in that sense when you're going for a high score. And if you kind of like that repetitious gameplay where you're trying to push yourself to do better and get a better score, you're probably going to enjoy that element of it.
Yeah, and even if you're not paying money, so you might not be as competitive, you're still getting at least as much of an experience out of it as you do in Mario Kart 8.
I think it's more of an experience in Mario Kart 8, to be
honest. I'm just saying, even if you're not able to, like, level up everything to the degree that you would if you were paying money for it, you're still just racing tracks and progressing through Grand Prix, which is all Mario Kart 8 is anyway, but there's, you know, that extra thing going on in the background, even if you're just playing for free.
Yeah, and the scoring element. And, like, and I do love that there's kind of that thing of, like, you can kind of compete for high scores in the background as well as just getting first place. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are definitely races where, like, I wind up getting in fourth or fifth, but I still, like, get 5 stars and have a really high score.
Yeah, your score isn't necessarily very dependent on where you place at all.
Well, I disagree. I mean, getting a higher place does help your score. There is
a bonus to that, but, like, I can have a good run without getting first place.
Yeah, there's enough other stuff. There's arguably even times where having at least one person in front of you that you can just kind of beat up on to get points can ultimately maybe get you more points than actually finishing in first.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go super hardcore, being in certain, I forget what it is, but if you read the statistics, what place you're in could get you certain items that actually be more helpful for your scoring, so you might want to fall back.
Yeah, there was a while where when, especially early on, I was trying to, like, compete for getting first place in the different things, I would, like, purposely screw up at the beginning so I'd be in eighth place, and then hopefully like get like some really powerful items that I could then just beat up other people in front of me to get a lot of points early on.
Yeah, at my level, that's not the best strategy, because getting the coin boxes or the coin frenzies are probably one of the best things to do, and you need to higher up to get that. But at lower levels, that's definitely something you probably could implement when you don't have maybe coin box drivers and things like that at your disposal. But yeah, and the one thing we didn't talk about this game is every cup has like a separate side challenge thing added to it.
Yeah, like the mission mode.
Yeah, it's like each one's like a little mission. Some of them are time trials. Some of them are just like get through the course without taking a hit, collect as many item boxes that like are moving around on the track, facing giant enemies.
Yeah, races against giant enemies. The ring races where you have to get through different rings. The glider challenge. And they're usually not super difficult, but it's just like a fun change of pace.
Yeah, exactly. And you get rewarded for doing them, so it's nice to have that. And I mean, I do miss the mission mode for Mario Kart DS, so that's kind of like a nice nod to that, and it's in here.
I really want this to be in the next Mario Kart.
I know,
like,
I really
do. Give me a console Mario Kart with a lot of these elements, and then with the great online and multiplayer from Mario Kart 8. Like, that game sounds incredible. I probably wouldn't give it a 7.5, no promises.
Yeah, and there are a lot of goofy characters in this, like Bus Driver Waluigi, I know.
Who says, Alabard?
Yeah, and Chef Mario, which is kind of like from Yoshi's Cookie. And
there's also Chef Shy Guy. I like him. Yeah.
I'm wondering when Chef Toad's going to show up from Nintendo World. I think it's only a matter of time.
What are some other good ones? There's Reindeer Yoshi and Santa Mario.
Santa Bowser is new from a couple months ago.
I got Santa Bowser when he showed up from the holidays this past year. There's Hiker Wario. He was in the Vancouver one, which felt apt.
Oh, I mean, this isn't a character, but I do want to point some goofy thing out about this game. A couple of months ago, there was a Berlin tour, and there was a track Berlin Byways 2. That was the first time they ever did a Berlin tour, so there's no Berlin Byways 1. It doesn't exist. So
that one also had...
what's going on?
Questions.
Where's that Berlin Byways?
Who had a sausage. It's Lederhosen Luigi. He's got a wiener mobile.
Yeah, and he has the sausage through a fork, and he holds it while he drives.
Yeah, and the animation's really good, too.
It's a very pleasant-looking game.
Oh, yeah.
No, they keep adding to it. There's a lot of cool stuff. Now you could play in a landscape mode.
Yeah. Do you think it would be viable for Nintendo to ever port this as a free app for Switch? Like, to just make this game available on Switch?
I feel like it would require more work, because I don't know. Like, it just seems like the game is very deliberately made for touchscreens.
Yeah, and I don't think it'd be
fair. Like, adapting it to controls wouldn't work that well, but maybe I'm wrong.
So I was an insane person when this game first came out, and was one of the people using the like separate motion controls for turning as opposed to drifting, which they've now kind of incorporated into the touchscreen controls better, so it doesn't bother me. But the only weird thing about it is that it kind of won't let you veer too far off the track. That's just the assist mode for Mario Kart 8 anyway.
Maybe it would. Yeah, like, I don't really know what the tech under the hood with this is. Maybe it would adapt totally fine to the Mario Kart 8 engine. I honestly don't know.
Well, and even if it just looked like Tour, even if it didn't look any prettier, if it was just a free, you know, and if it was cross-play with this, and cross-progression would be cool through your Nintendo account, which I think you already have to sign into.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm hoping when the next Mario Kart releases, like, they do something to connect with Tour. Like, hey, look, you get all these alternate costumes because you played Tour.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
I'm trying to think about that. I think Mario Kart Tour is doing, like, fine on mobile. It's definitely not, like, Dr. Mario World levels of bomb. But, like, I am curious to see, like, exactly how well it's doing. I mean, obviously, Justin and I are in. They got us hook, line, and sinker.
You're the only people playing. It's just you guys. They're like, we got our $10 a month, so we're good.
But I forget, like, there was... I'm trying to think the last time we saw any kind of analytics and, like, how much money it's raking in. It's not Fire Emblem Waifu game money, because I think that is by far, like... Well, I guess outside of Pokemon Go, Fire Emblem Heroes is insanely successful.
I mean, that would explain why there's so many Peach alternate costumes in this game.
Yeah, there's a lot of Peach alternate costumes.
Daisy,
lots of Daisy. I mean, there is like the really the Daisy who's like ready to go shopping.
Pauline,
who has the lucky seven power up, which is I always like having that as my character. That's why I like playing the gold tier Boo, that has the lucky seven power up.
Oh, King Boo, yeah.
Yeah. Or Vanilla Boo, which got Xander very confused. Because there's
like
a King
flavor?
Boo. Well, no, I said vanilla is in like the regular King Boo because there's also the King Boo from Luigi's Mansion as a character.
With like the gem. I mean, it's the same King Boo, but I think he has like the gem.
Yeah, with the gem and the dead eyes, as opposed to like the King Boo who's just like, yo, man, I'm here for a party.
And there's Gold King Boo.
Yeah, there is King Boo. I don't have Luigi's Mansion King Boo, but I have the other two King Boos.
I was really excited at the concept of there being different flavors of Boo. Because like
chocolate Boo.
He does, I mean, he does look very fluffy and delicious.
Yeah, like so I would eat that marshmallow Boo.
Yeah. Yeah, chocolate Boo and strawberry Boo, and
I am hoping they go a little more crazy with the characters, not just all costumes. Like, I want to see Wart. I want to see Tatanga. I want to see like.
I do really like the Super Mario Kart ones that they had for.
Oh yeah, those are cool too. I'm expecting to see.
Yeah,
I never got one of those, and I was really bummed out. I actually put some rubies into the Mario Tour most recently on the pipe that did have Super Nintendo Mario in it.
Because I'm being a little more competitive with it because I'm like looking at the new characters and I haven't pulled since December on anything. I'm just...
I do love how we both adore this game, but we play it completely differently because I'm just there like, I want the one that looks like this. And you're like, I need to get the one that will optimally let me win.
Yeah, basically. I'm like, which one's going to give me the course coverage I need most or have like the best item?
I'm like, Luigi's wearing Lederhosen. Lederhosen.
I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but like, I can look at the picture of him still. It's not like blocked out of my game. But I'm just thinking, like, yeah, I want to have the most competitive team I can and try to be able to climb through the ranks. And they just added a new thing with this current tour is if you do well in the ranks, you can get new characters now that they throw in there. And this week's this tour's is Blue Yoshi. So that's that's fun.
Yeah, I love Mario Kart Tour. I'm so glad we got it on the top 10 list. In 2019.
Oh yeah, I think people are really ticked, but I'm like, no, we gotta have it there. And I remember people reading our list and like, is this a joke? Are they trolling?
Most of the comments on that YouTube video are very upset about that, but those people didn't play it, or they played, you know, it could be that a lot of those people played the beta where it did have like the stamina stuff and everything in there, and never played the final game, which I think is a way more fair, more fun game.
Well, I also think it's like I said, this game is a slow burn. And if you just play it for a day, you may be disappointed. Cause like, it's not the Mario Kart experience I want. It's like, no, you just got to play this a little bit every day or whenever you have time. You'd have to decide for yourself. But like, if you stick with it, it's going to pay off. I'm telling you.
It doesn't really take anything away from Mario Kart. It kind of just adds to it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't really see not seeing it as a Mario Kart experience because it's everything about Mario Kart is there. There's just also other stuff. So
And especially if you're coming into it new, like just don't put money into it and just kind of have fun with it. Like you're not, and I think maybe the hesitation comes from like you're not able to just rock it and win successfully all the time because you kind of need to build up your roster. Yeah. But like if you just play,
you don't have to. Like you can still progress without getting a perfect score on every track. I mean, you're not gonna be Justin, but you can still progress like a normal.
Well, I started out with nothing like everybody else. Remember, and then you just gotta stick with it for a long time and you power
never
things up.
Stop.
And
we'll get Xander on so that way we can hear about what his experience has been like.
Yeah, because Xander's only been playing for like 2 months, maybe 3 months now, and he's really into it.
I did notice the last time I went into the video archive for NWR that there were a lot of Mario Kart Tour videos.
Somebody
in the archive,
I
assumed Xander had been playing.
No, yeah, Xander's been doing. He's been asking me things about it, like I said. And I think we did one thing together where it was like some team challenge thing we tried out. It's fun. There's a lot of cool things in there. I mean, the multiplayer is generally garbage, but I guess that challenge thing is all right since you're working as a team. I mean, if you want to play multiplayer, it's there. You can play with your friends and everything, but it's not the best experience in this game. It's
clearly not what the game was designed around.
No, definitely not. And I think the fact that everybody could be using different devices, sometimes it could be extraordinarily laggy with multiple people, so that's probably a huge part of the problem too. But I mean, we're telling you this game is great for not that reason, so just forget that. You can play it a little bit if you want to do some of the challenge stuff, but stick to the single player mostly, and it's give it a chance. It's like I said, it's a slow burn. Stick with it a little bit and definitely see how this game could positively impact the future of the Mario Kart franchise.
Well, with that, I think we'll call it an episode. So thank you very much for listening. Justin, thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to be here.
And Neil, tell all the people how they can contact us and things, because I can never remember this stuff.
So you can contact us at ConnectivityNWR on Twitter. You can also email us at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. We do have some listener mail that we talked about last week.
I hope so.
We do. Yeah. Send us more listener mail. Like, we'll talk about it. We don't get a lot of listener mail. So, yeah. And let us know if you want us to talk more about Mario Kart Tour, if you want us to do game shows again. We live to serve, even if we're ultimately just doing this because we want to hang out and talk about dumb stuff.
Yeah, I mean, some people wanted me on this show a couple months ago, and they're probably going to be mad we're talking about Mario Kart Tour, but that's what you get. Go play it.
Yeah, no, I mean, we'll bring Justin back. Someone's going to have to take us down when we hear more Breath of the Wild 2 news.
Hey, I'm not down on it. I'm willing to give it a chance. It could fix all the problems.
That's when we'll get into the timeline stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we get some Breath of the Wild 2 news, then Justin, you're coming back, so that way I can take a week off and you guys can just talk about the Zelda timeline.
There has to be a third person here. You can't just leave me and Justin.
Well, no, Xander's the moderator.
Okay. I was going to say, like, it cannot just be me and Justin in a room, because, like, that'll be a problem.
Yeah, no, I think maybe Xander and I will plan it out, and we'll figure out what the John v. Justin Zelda timeline.
Cage match.
Yeah, John v. Justin Dawn of Skyward. I don't know.
All right, well, with that, we come to the end of the episode. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
This video was made possible by our generous supporters on Patreon. Check out patreon.com/NWR for all the details.